for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Amen. This week, I was reminded of the movie Selma. It's a chronicle of Martin Luther King Jr.'s campaign to secure equal voting rights by an epic march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama in 1965. I actually watched it here in the hall when I was an intern with you in 2016. There is a scene in it where things have become very difficult for Martin Luther King Jr. and for those who were following him. He says something like, "I'm just like everyone else. I want to live a long life and enjoy my family. Right now, though, I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm thinking about what God wants." This morning's readings invite us to think about what God wants. It's easy to focus on Jonah in our first reading. It's not just about Jonah, though. We also hear that God has a change of mind. This is a story about God and about what God wants. Even if you don't know the whole story of Jonah, our passage this morning gives us a clue that what we hear today isn't the whole story. We heard, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." The first time God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah ran as fast as he could in the opposite direction, finding a ship to carry him away to Tarshish and ending up in the belly of a whale for 3 days and nights. Why did he run in the opposite direction? Well, Nineveh was a great city of the Assyrian Empire, an empire that had captured and brutalized Israel. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go there. From the belly of that whale, Jonah prays, alternating between pleading with God and blaming God. And God releases him and gives him a second chance to fulfill the call. That's what we heard this morning. Notice, though, that Jonah doesn't behave like other prophets. Most prophets call for repentance, repeating themselves to ensure that everyone has heard the message. Jonah goes only a third of the way into the city, though, and all he says is, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all it takes, though. The Ninevites turn their lives around, and God has a change of mind. So this story isn't about what Jonah wants. It's about what God wants. Our gospel passage from Mark, another call story. Last week we heard from John's gospel about Philip and Nathanael. This week, from Mark, it's Simon and Andrew, James and John, sons of Zebedee. It's easy to focus on these individuals, asking ourselves, how was it that they could drop everything and follow Jesus? Wondering whether we're willing to do the same. This puts the focus on the disciples and on us. But this, too, is a story about God and about what God wants. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "This is not a story about us. This is a story about God and about God's ability not only to call us, but also to create us as people who are able to follow. It is about God's ability to call us and to create us as people who are able to follow. This reminds me of Anne Lamott, who often quotes her friend, Jesuit priest Tom Weston, saying, "You can tell you've created God in your own image when God hates all the same people you do." God is always more than we can ask or imagine. When we think we understand God and God's abilities, we've made God too small. God does have the ability to call us and to create us as people who are able to follow a way of love. God is always more than we can ask or imagine. And the potential and possibility, the divine spark that is in all people, in all things, is more than we can ask or imagine. God wants us to realize, to make the most of that potential and possibility on this earthly journey. Sometimes the way to realizing the potential and possibility in us is a path of repentance, a turning around, as was the case with the Ninevites. Sometimes the way to realizing our potential means dropping everything and following in the way that Simon and Andrew and James and John did. We are all created with the potential in us to follow Jesus and to live into the endless possibilities that his way of love and compassion and peace and justice offer. That will look different for each of us. It's meant to look different for each of us. Jesus didn't take experts in God's kingdom with him to Galilee. He didn't take 12 ideal Christians with him and say to those he encountered, "Be a copy of these perfect people." No. He empowered those who were already there. He called those who were already there with their own unique abilities and with their quirks and quarks and foibles. And he said to them, "The kingdom of God is near. Follow me." The kingdom of God is near. It's near to us, and God is calling us. Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, says that we forget that God's Spirit is with us, just as it was with Jesus. He says that we live in a state of practical atheism. We forget that God is with us. We forget to ask God to speak. We assume that we've got to figure out our own problems, achieve our own goals, and single-handedly muster all the resources we need to get by. We forget that we don't actually have to sort it all out ourselves. We can rely on God, and God may even surprise us with gifts and guidance we never could have conjured up on our own. Thinking this way has us remember that God is more than we can ask or imagine. And it has us remember to ask what God wants. Some of you will have heard me mention the Heart Edge Network, an ecumenical network of churches and other organizations that was initiated by St. Martin's in the Field in London, England. Heart Edge describes conversion as this. Conversion is the Spirit bringing to life suppressed gifts and buried treasure in a person that leads them to find their story in God's story. The Spirit bringing to life suppressed gifts and buried treasure in a person that leads them to find their story in God's story. This is why Jesus invited the disciples to follow him. Jesus said, "Leave these nets that are a means to an end, and see that you are part of a net that is God's story, woven through all of creation." Jesus' invitation to Peter and Andrew and James and John was, "Follow me and find your story in God's story by journeying with people as they search for their story in God's story." This is Jesus' invitation to each of us, too. May we be reminded this morning that God is more than we can ask or imagine, and that God has made each of us with the ability to follow a way of love. May we ask ourselves what God wants for us, for others, for our world. And may our stories tell a story of God's love today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.